they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. That's our scripture reading this morning. As shepherds were watching their flocks by night on the outskirts of Bethlehem, an angel suddenly appeared to them. He had glad tidings of great joy. "Unto you is born this day," said the angel, "in the city of David, a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying nearby in a manger, in a feeding trough." And in response to that declaration, suddenly the heavens were filled with the host of heavenly angels, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." In the verses we consider this morning, we learn of the reaction of the shepherds to the appearance of the angels and their message. And we also learn the reaction of Mary to that same appearance and message, and the citizens of Bethlehem, also their reaction, as it was told them by the shepherds. There was a positive reaction, and there was a negative one. The reaction of the shepherds and of Mary was positive. It was the reaction of faith. The reaction of the citizens of Bethlehem, however, was negative. It was the reaction of unbelief. Down through the centuries to this day, you will find that twofold reaction to the birth and the life and the death and the work of Jesus Christ. Believing and unbelieving. Our reaction must be that of the shepherds, of Mary, the reaction of faith. I call your attention to this passage with a theme, reaction to the baby of Bethlehem. First of all, notice a twofold reaction. Secondly, a proper explanation. Thirdly, a solemn calling. Mention is made here in verse 20 of what the shepherds heard and saw. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. You understand, the shepherds that night saw things and heard things that Mary had not heard and seen. They had seen the angels that night, breaking through the darkness with the glory light of heaven shining right about them. And they had heard the message of the angels. "Don't be afraid. We bring you good tidings of great joy, not only for you, but for all people." What good tidings? In the city of David, that was Bethlehem. They were just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. In the city of David is born this day a Savior. The Savior, Christ, the Lord, The one whom God has promised His church for centuries. And He has been born unto you for your salvation and your welfare. And then the angel spoke of a sign. You want to see this baby? You want to know about this baby? You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying near Bethlehem in a manger, a feeding trough. So go find a stable, and you will find him there. And then suddenly, they saw the whole sky light up with a host of angels. That must have been something to see. When do you read in Scripture of the whole sky being filled with angels, reflecting the glory light of heaven? And they were all praising God, expressing glory to God in the highest, because there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's what the angels heard, the shepherds heard. That's what they saw. And although Mary had not seen and heard this, the shepherds certainly told her. We read, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It's most likely this was a cave on the outskirts of Bethlehem, even used today when caravans pass through to put their animals and shelter their animals overnight. And although it's not mentioned, certainly when the shepherds found Mary and Joseph and the babe, they told Mary all the things they'd seen. And Joseph, all the things they heard. And you understand what they told Mary and Joseph that night was only the culmination of other things that Mary had seen and heard, which the shepherds had not. Mary, no doubt, told them of the appearance of an angel to her some 9 months before this, calling her blessed because she would have a child, which she must name Jesus. He would be great. He would take the throne of his father David. Mary was of the house of David. He would ascend the throne of his father David and establish it forever. And when Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel had told her, that which is conceived in thee shall be conceived by the Holy Spirit. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that child which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She had told Joseph of that. Now the shepherds know that. And Jesus had, and Joseph had something that he had heard and seen to tell the shepherds. He had concluded that Mary was an adulteress until an angel came to him in a dream and told him that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you must take your espoused wife and in due time consummate your marriage with her. And you must call his name, the name of this baby, Jesus, Savior. Because he shall save his people from their sins. So those were things that the shepherds learned that night, that Mary and Joseph had seen and heard. And now the passage revealed before us this morning reveals their reaction to these things. Mary, we read, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We read that repeatedly of Mary. When the angel first came to her announcing that she would mother the Christ child, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now she does that with the message of the shepherds. That means she kept these things in her mind. She remembered them and she pondered upon them. She reflected upon them constantly. These things were precious to her. What does this all mean? Where will this all go? She pondered these things. No doubt the shepherds did too, but we read the shepherds did more than this. According to verse 17, and when they had seen it, the baby lying in a manger, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Notice the emphasis here is not what they had seen. Well, they told that too. We saw an angel, and then we saw the whole heavens open up with angels. But the emphasis is on what was told them by the angels. Unto us is born this day, right outside of Bethlehem, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And the angels told us the sign to identify him, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We found him. He's over there. The angels praise God, glorifying God, proclaiming peace on earth. They made this known abroad to all the citizens of Bethlehem. That no doubt was true that night, but that carried on after that night. The shepherds were eagerly, joyously telling everybody what they had seen and heard. You remember in the days of Elisha, when Jerusalem or Samaria was besieged by the Syrian army, so that there was a famine so bad in the city that finally two mothers decided to eat one baby, the baby of one, and then the next day the baby of the other. And Elisha predicted that the next day there would be more bread than they could possibly eat. During that night, lepers outside the city gate, because they couldn't be in the city, decided to risk everything and go to the Syrian camp to find some food, and they found the camp was empty because God had sent a sound as of an army coming, and they all fled. What did these lepers do? Well, first of all, they gorged themselves and they started digging up gold. And finally, as an afterthought, they thought, you know, I wonder if we ought to tell the people in Samaria. I wonder if we ought to do that. And finally, they did that. Well, that wasn't the way these shepherds were. You think we ought to tell anybody? No. With joy, enthusiasm, they spread abroad what they had seen and heard. And told the people about the baby, where he was. And they glorified and praised God as the angels had. Well, that was their reaction. What about the reaction of the people? Verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered. No, that doesn't mean that they had doubts about what the shepherds said. These shepherds, even though they were young men, no doubt were honest and known in this small community as honest young men. And besides, what they were reporting was simply had followed upon the heels of another astounding thing of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who in her old age had brought forth a son. And The news had spread, obviously, about the deafness and the dumbness of the father until it was time to come and name the child. There were strange things happening, and this was simply another one. They had no reason to doubt the shepherds. That they wondered meant that they were amazed. They marveled. They were filled with awe. Wow. But the striking thing is that even though they wondered, they didn't go and see the babe as the shepherds had. You would expect news of this to spread like wildfire. You would expect people to come in droves, dozens at a time, to see this babe. But you read nothing of it. No one came. And when the wise men came, sometime after, within 2 years, asking, "Where is he born, King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him." And they came into the streets of Jerusalem, just 5 miles away from Bethlehem. They're met with blank stares. "King of the Jews? What are you talking about?" Obviously, these people who wondered and marveled at the report of the shepherds had simply dismissed it. Mary had pondered these things and kept these things in her heart. The citizens of Bethlehem had not. It was quickly dismissed. The shepherds had praised and glorified God. The citizens of Bethlehem, even though they were amazed at the report of the shepherds, did not. So how do you explain that twofold reaction? This reaction of the citizens of Bethlehem generally was the reaction of unbelief. You know, the nation of Israel, even though it was the church at this time, had long departed from the gospel and from the Lord, and was characterized by deadening unbelief. The thoughts of the people were controlled either by the Pharisees or the Sadducees. The Pharisees were characterized by work righteousness. Anything we're going to get from God we'll earn by keeping his law. They didn't need someone to cover their sins. The Sadducees were really, worse yet, they didn't believe in the existence of angels. They didn't believe in life after death. Their life was not very, not controlled by the law of God at all. And that unbelief that was dominated by the thinking and teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees determined the expectation of the people. They were looking for earthly things. You know, that's characteristic generally of false teaching and false doctrine. When the church is led away into embracing false doctrine, very soon their expectations and hope don't reach any higher than the horizon. They don't look to heaven very much anymore. They're looking for things on the earth. For example, the error of postmillennialism and premillennialism concerning the coming of Christ leads people with that belief system to look only for a kingdom here on the earth and hardly any attention to eternity. The modern church of our day has nothing but a social gospel, a heaven here on earth. And those modern churches started off one day as being true, faithful churches of God whose hope was eternal and in the heavens. But as the leaven or yeast of false doctrine worked its way through their system and their whole perspective, heaven is lost. And all you have left is an earthly hope. And that's what dominated in Israel at this time. They were under the oppressive rule of the Roman government. They longed to throw off Roman rule and return to the glory days of Solomon and David. At least the earthly glory of Solomon and David. And so they were expecting a Savior that God had promised to come and do these things for them. Give them power. Give them riches. Give them influence. Establish a great earthly kingdom. That's not what God had promised in the Old Testament. It's true that in the Old Testament, the promises of God were always couched in earthly terms because that was the nature of the Old Testament. It was a time of pictures. But it was very clear in the Old Testament that the Savior was going to come to bring redemption from sin and to bring His people to a heavenly Canaan with a heavenly kingdom. Even Abraham, way before many of the prophets, who had much less than the other people had later on from the prophets. Even Abraham, who had only the promise to become a great nation and through his seed would inherit the land of Canaan. We read in Hebrews 11, looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked beyond the earthly Canaan to the heavenly Canaan. That was faith. But you see, the faith of Abraham didn't dominate the nation anymore. They were looking for an earthly Messiah to give them earthly things, like God gave them in the days of David and Solomon. And that explains the reaction of the people to the shepherd's report. The shepherds, in their excitement, explained what they saw and they heard. And the babe, where is he? Well, he's outside the city. But where outside? In a cave. And he's in a feeding trough. All they could describe to the people was a location of absolute poverty and squalor. You know, we have Christmas cards that paint a very nice, cozy, warm scene of the manger. And that is so false. It was dark, smelly, squalor. Born to two parents. To a mother who was not even able to have enough influence to provide anything but birth in a cattle stall. That offended the people of Bethlehem. They stumbled over that. How could anything come from that? The Savior we're looking for has to come from better circumstances than that. Had the shepherds reported that he was born in the palace of some rich nobleman, attended by nurses, wrapped in fine linen, people would have been knocking on the door to see. But not this. What's going to come of this? So they marvel for a time, and they quickly put it out of their mind. But the reaction of Mary and the shepherds was that of faith. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds were part of a small remnant of the true people of God that were left yet in the nation of Israel. You could add Simeon, Anna, Zechariah, Elizabeth. There were others. But it was a small, small percentage. In faith, they looked for the Savior, as Abraham did. Yes, to them, the kingdom was somehow tied up with earthly things yet. Even Jesus' disciples, after Jesus, at the end of Jesus' ministry, didn't completely understand it. So they became offended when Jesus surrendered himself to be slain by the leaders of the people. But this small remnant, with the faith of Abraham, could see beyond the earthly and the physical to the heavenly, to the spiritual. They were looking for a Savior who would come and redeem them from their sins and bring them to a heavenly spiritual kingdom, where they would live with God forever. And so the lowly stable, with its poverty and squalor, was what was no offense to them. They didn't stumble over that. Did they see the meaning of this sign completely? No. That they couldn't yet. We can. That abject poverty in which Christ was born is a God-ordained sign of a deeper spiritual poverty into which he was born as the Son of God. When he was born, he took upon himself the poverty of our sin and the judgment of God upon that sin, that he had to bear all of his life long to establish his kingdom. We can see that clearly from the light of New Testament revelation. The shepherds didn't see that all that clearly. Mary and Joseph didn't. But the squalor and the sign that God gave them did not contradict the heavenly hopes that they had and the heavenly expectations that beat in their hearts. And so they embraced the babe of Bethlehem. You know, this is our final point, the solemn calling. The gospel that was proclaimed to the shepherds by the angels is still being proclaimed today and more fully. You know, essentially the whole gospel of salvation was given that night to the angels, to the shepherds. What did the angels say to the shepherds? Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The word there is, I bring you the gospel, the good news of salvation. What is that good news? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill to men. That's the heart of the good news of salvation. The gospel proclaimed that night to the shepherds concerning Jesus' birth is now proclaimed much fuller. There are things that we see that the angels didn't see. Oh, we didn't see the angels that night. We weren't there. We weren't able to peek into the manger scene and see the baby Jesus. That's long gone. We can see it on the pages of history of the Bible. But from the Bible, we see more. We see this babe of Bethlehem nailed to a cross, having upon him the shame and humility and poverty of our sin. He suffered all his life long for us, to take away the wrath of God upon our sins so that we could be received into God's favor. We see that. It's right here in Scripture. And from the Scriptures, we see that in the third day he arose again unto eternal life. And then God took him 40 days later into heaven and seated him at his own right hand, giving him power and honor and glory, and crowned him king. And we see from Scripture the kingdom. Jesus Christ from generation to generation is calling out of darkness into the marvelous light of faith and salvation the people whom he has redeemed, bringing them to himself, forming them as a great spiritual nation, ruling over them by his power, by his word and Holy Spirit, so that they and we with them humbly bow the knee before Christ and serve him gladly as our King. We see that. And although we don't see it yet, we're promised he's going to come in glory to judge the living and the dead. And this little babe, born in the squalor of the manger, is going to return in glory to receive us, his church, into everlasting bliss in a new heavens, in a new earth. Shepherds didn't see all that. Mary didn't see all that. We do. What are you going to do with that now? Many respond like the citizens of Bethlehem. They hear that. They maybe see evidences of that in the life of the church. They may even marvel for a time. And then they pass on and they forget it. And their focus is not on the heavenly kingdom and heavenly glory, but their focus is only on earthly things. And yes, they'll celebrate Christmas, but the Christ child that they focus on is really not the babe in squalor, born into the poverty of our sin. They make him to be the prince of earthly peace. And then they quickly turn his day into a day of commercialism and materialism. You know, I had to go to the store for my wife yesterday. Went into Myers, Knapp Corners here. All of a sudden it struck me. Today, they're going to be closed. All the businesses are going to be closed. When I was younger, every holiday and every Sunday, all businesses were closed. Now, there's not a Sunday that'll close a business. There's not a holiday that will close a business. Except Christmas. Why? Because they all want to get together and truly celebrate the birth of Christ? No. They're way past that. If they really wanted to celebrate the birth of Christ, they'd be closed on every Lord's Day. Christ is simply forgotten. Like the citizens of Bethlehem. We must react in faith. We must have the faith of Abraham. We must have the faith of Joseph and Mary, of the shepherds. Then we will keep all these things and ponder them in our hearts. Not just today, but every Sabbath day that will bring us to church and every day of our life. And if we have the faith of the shepherds and of Mary, then we'll rejoice. And we will glorify God as the shepherds did, as the angels of heaven did. And if it's the heart and the faith of Mary and of the shepherds that beats in us, then we will with the shepherds noise abroad gladly the good tidings. Unto us is born the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We'll remind each other of that. We'll tell our children of that. We'll let anybody know who will hear us. Then we are celebrating his birth as we ought. Amen. Dear God and Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the birth of thy Son, who is the King, born to be a King, sent to the humility of the cross, that he might be exalted to establish a kingdom far above and beyond any other earthly kingdom. Lord, give us faith in him. Include us into his work. Lead us to be citizens of his kingdom with true faith. And give us, O God, with joy to ponder these things and to look forward to the day of his coming. For Jesus' sake do we ask it. Amen.